Once a year, Ailish and I sit down and we watch the 12 hours or so extended edition of Lord of the Rings. And we do it once a year, it's great. And we often find ourselves speaking in tandem with the characters, you know. And obviously I am Aragorn. And she's obviously... the one with the hairy feet, yeah. At last week's family service, Lorna asked us who we thought might be the hero of the film Lord of the Rings. And of course, there were quite a number of answers. But I was really glad to hear that Samwise Gamgee got a few votes. Samwise, if you don't know the book or the film, Samwise is Frodo's gardener. Frodo's sort of the lead person. And he's Frodo's gardener and best friend. And as they embark on this long journey to destroy the ring, Samwise Gamgee has committed to stick with Frodo through thick and thin. And this is what happens at the end of the first film, The Fellowship of the Ring, when Frodo tries to take off alone, leaving Sam and the rest of the Fellowship behind. Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee, and I don't mean to. Now, of course, any illustration in a sermon, particularly of Jesus, is going to fall down really quickly. And you know, Jesus doesn't need any help from drowning, of course. But having said that, for me, Sam's commitment to the promise that he's going to stay with Frodo reminds me of Jesus' words at the end of that reading that Lorna read for us, when Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus says to the disciples, says to us, "I promise to be with you, and you can be certain that I will be." Now, this little passage, verses 16 to 20 in Matthew 28, may be well known to a number of us here. It's often called the Great Commission, Jesus' Great Commission, which he gives three big statements to his disciples just before he ascends to heaven. There's a fact, and then there's a command, and then there's a promise. The fact is that Jesus tells them that he has all authority given to him on heaven and in heaven and on earth. There's the command to the disciples that they should now continue the work he started by telling the world about the good news about Jesus. And then there's this promise, "I am with you." And as we continue the series, as Tony mentioned, the series looking at titles of Jesus, and this week as we look at the title of Emmanuel, I'm going to concentrate mostly on that third statement, the promise that Jesus says, "I am with you always," and how his arrival on earth and his promise to always be with us fulfills that title, Emmanuel, this Hebrew word which means God with us. Now, we're going to come back to the actual word Emmanuel in a little bit and where in the Bible we can find that. But as we dig into the meaning of the word, of the title Emmanuel, let me just say how I'm planning to sort of approach the sermon tonight so you know where I'm going. First, to say that although Jesus' promise here is more in the context of the command to the disciples to go out and to us to be witnesses for him, I'm going to concentrate on the wider implications and application of his promise, of Jesus' promise to be with us. And I'm going to do that under four headings. I've put the headings on bits of paper just so you know, in case you want to follow them as I go, and a few verses that I'll be referring to. Four headings, very simply, his words, Jesus' words, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." They're going to be my four headings. And Jesus starts the sentence, "and surely," or "be sure of this, guys." It's an emphasis at the beginning of what he's about to tell them because he wants them to take note of what he's going to say because it's important. Jesus has just given them that command that I mentioned, commanded the disciples to start this mega task, this almost impossible task, to carry on the work that he's already started, to preach the good news of Jesus, who he is, what he's done, essentially to start preaching that to the rest of the world. But when Jesus says surely, it's not just an emphasis to ensure the disciples take note of what he's saying. Jesus is not just saying it with the sound of authority. More significantly, the emphasis comes from who he is, the authority of who is saying it. He's just told the disciples, as I said, that fact in verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," says Jesus. So whatever Jesus says comes with, it comes on, the highest authority, the authority of heaven. And so it can be trusted to be completely true, whether or not in his grace he decides to give any emphasis to it in any particular sentence. If I say to you, I'm going to come with you on this sponsored cycle ride from Land's End to John O'Groats, you'll doubt I'm serious. You'll wonder if I can last the pace, if I can squeeze into that cycling gear. And even if I could go that far, you'd wonder about it. But if I said it with authority, be sure of this. Surely, I promise you that I will go every inch of that grueling 1,000 miles bike journey from Land's End to John O'Groats. Well, you might take a bit more notice of what I'm saying, but you'll still know that I'm not capable of doing it. But if I said it with that same emphasis, but you also knew that I'd done that bike ride 5 times before, that I'd completed it every time, that I'd come first on every occasion, and on the last time I'd done it on a unicycle while I was reciting Lord of the Rings, you'd know I was talking with real authority and that I could be trusted to keep my word to stay with you all 1,000 miles. Our passage indicates that at the time that Jesus was saying this to the disciples, as Lorna read, the disciples doubted, they hesitated. They were still working out, trying to understand what all this meant, what Jesus' death, life, and life, death, and resurrection, what it meant. They were still trying to come to terms with it and come to terms with the authority that Jesus carries. But as we read these words of Jesus, or any words of Jesus in the Bible, particularly as explained in the rest of the New Testament, we know that Jesus speaks with the highest authority. We've been looking at some of that over the last few weeks, haven't we, if you've been able to come, as we looked at other titles of Jesus. Jesus, the Word, when T started off a few weeks for us. Jesus existed before creation, and it was through him that everything existed. He's the one and only Son of God who speaks with the authority of God because he is God. He's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He sits at God the Father's right hand because he's finished that saving work that he came to achieve for each of us on the cross. He sits at the Father's right hand where all the angels worship him, where he ensures our access to the same throne of God through his ceaseless praying for us. That's what we've been hearing over the last few weeks, all of that. And as we're here in a couple of weeks' time, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's supreme over everything. He's the name above all names. When Jesus says surely, when he says be sure of this, we can trust him completely to fulfill his word, to fulfill what he says, because it comes on the highest authority, the authority of God himself. And so with that highest and sure and divine authority, Jesus says, I am with you. I am with you. As Matthew writes his book of the account of Jesus' life, his gospel, Matthew's gospel, he uses these Jesus' own words to sort of round it off. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. For Matthew, it's like a confirmation, an emphatic confirmation of what the whole book has been about, that his readers would know that this man Jesus is the promised Messiah, the promised rescuer that the Old Testament talked about, and that Jesus, this Messiah, this rescuer, is God himself. And for Matthew writing, it provides a sort of a bookend, a conclusion bookend to the introductory bookend at the other end of his gospel in Matthew 1. So we're going to hear a passage now from Lorna, I think, is going to read this as well, from the other end of Matthew in chapter 1. One that you're probably most likely to hear around Christmas. And listen out for that title, Emmanuel. It's Matthew 1, verses 18 to 23.
And it's on page 965, but it doesn't have a page number. Page 965, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Thank you, Lorna. So as Matthew opens his gospel in chapter 1, he says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And he's talking now of the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament in chapter 7. And in that chapter 7 of Isaiah, it says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Matthew lifts those out, he puts those into his gospel, and then he helpfully says that Emmanuel means God with us. Isaiah, when he's writing this 700 years earlier, predicted Emmanuel as the sign to come of God's presence and power, who would be both judge and saviour of the world. And at that time, it was God who said this, the same righteous judge and saviour that was offering to the people at the time, who were in quite a predicament from opposing armies, to give them a sign of his power and presence. But the king at the time, King Ahaz, decided to reject God and instead take things into his own hands. But as Isaiah tells us in chapter 7, God said, well, I'm going to give you Emmanuel anyway. And as he opens his gospel, Matthew is certain that this boy Jesus, conceived by the Virgin Mary, by the work of God's Holy Spirit, is the promised Emmanuel, God with us. And then he leaves Jesus, God with us, to provide that confirmation at the end of Matthew 28. I am with you. I, God, am with you. But Jesus was actually saying to the disciples, I am with you, just as he was about not to be with them. He's just about to ascend to heaven and leave them vulnerable. So what did he mean when he said, I am with you? Well, Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity of Father, Son and Holy Spirit that Jesus refers to in verse 19 of our passage. As we can read in John's Gospel, Jesus had promised them that once he wasn't around in person anymore, he would send his Spirit, the Spirit of God, to guide and equip them. And in John 14:26, for instance, chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says to his disciples, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in Jesus' name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said. Just a few verses earlier in that same chapter, in chapter 14, Jesus has said, when he was talking about the Holy Spirit being with them forever, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, Jesus is not like some of the senior people in the immigration department that I've had to work with over the last few years, who suddenly arrive with new ideas and promises that they're going to sort everything out for you. It'll all be all right now, I'm here. And then, as quick as they come, they've gone again, leaving us with no tools to do the job. Didn't I sound sad? Oh dear, it's not that bad. Leaving us no tools to do the job, and maybe in a worse place than we were before they arrived with all their glory. No, Jesus is not like that. When he left the disciples to go to heaven, Jesus kept his promise, I am with you. He kept his promise to send his Holy Spirit. And we can read about that particularly in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Amazing Acts. Against all the odds, where in obedience to that command that Jesus had given them to spread the gospel to essentially the rest of the world, those few men began that great commission which we are now all part of, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts is a fantastic book. If you haven't read it for a while, read it. It is amazing. And they were able to do it because Jesus kept his promise, I am with you, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is with each of us if we trust and obey Jesus as our King and Saviour. So Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, who was with the disciples in the flesh, continues to be with us by his Holy Spirit within us. Within us individually, but within us as a body, as a family, as a church as well. And that last point is really important, I think, because we can sometimes forget that God has given us the wonderful gift of the church of each other, where his presence, where God's presence can be experienced in loads of ways and circumstances and through all shapes and sizes and messiness of us, of God's people. Do you know, just in this last week, I've been really blessed with the confirmation and assurance of the presence of God in a number of ways, and mostly through other Christians, God's presence in other Christians. Just a week ago, someone was encouraging me when I was struggling with what appeared to me like a complete absence of parenting skills. I've been equipped amazingly by God through this last week, when at times it just did not seem to have enough hours to do what I needed to get done. I felt the presence of God in a really tangible way here on Monday night in the prayer meeting, for those that were here. And I was joyful and thankful for God's presence shining so brightly out of one of our life group on Thursday night. Of course, we don't always have weeks like that. Sometimes God doesn't seem to be that close. Sometimes God seems to be absent. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. But before we leave this section, I am with you, it's important, I think, to add something else that I always find extremely helpful when I think about Jesus being with me. It may not be explicit from the words that Matthew speaks here, but it's important to recognise that Jesus, when he says he's going to be with us, it comes from a place of complete informed, he's informed, not an ignorant sort of passing bias of standing by us. It comes from the position of full knowledge and experience of how we'll be feeling in any particular circumstances, because Jesus has been there before. We know the Bible. If you read the rest of the Bible, it tells us some of the things that he faced. Jesus isn't some distant, faceless chief executive who might just pass by occasionally and nod and say, oh yeah, I know how difficult he is, when actually he's got no idea, or maybe he doesn't care. Jesus has been to weddings and funerals, so he'll be with us fully in our celebration and in the sadness and our losses. Jesus was tempted, so he knows what it feels like when we are struggling to succumb, not to succumb to something. Jesus experienced people rejecting him, the good news in person, so he knows it's not easy for us to tell others about him. Jesus wept. Jesus suffered pain. He knows what it's like to be abandoned and vulnerable. He was a baby, a child, a man. He was a learner, a worker, a servant. He's done it all and he's seen it all. So when he says, I am with you, his presence comes with that complete understanding of how we are feeling in any particular circumstance. And therefore, he knows what we need from his presence at any particular moment. So there's absolute certainty that by his Holy Spirit, Jesus will be with us. And his presence is one that will always meet our needs. And surely, I am with you. So let's move on to the third heading. The last two will be a bit quicker than those. And surely, I am with you always. Well, you might say, well, what is there to say about always? Always means always, doesn't it? It's just a self-descriptive word. But it's worth reminding ourselves of how this applies when it comes to Jesus saying, I am with you, and when we think of Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. As I said earlier, there are occasions when time goes by and it feels that Jesus is not that close to us. It feels that Jesus is actually nowhere near us. And those feelings could be for a whole range of reasons. If we go back to that film, like Frodo does with Sam on many occasions through their long, long journey, it could be because we push Jesus away from us for whatever reason. We try to reject him. It could be that all seems well and that we think we can handle everything on our own. We don't need Jesus. And, well, we think Jesus has probably gone off somewhere else to help someone else. It could be that the pressures and the struggles and reality of hard times are crushing us. And Jesus doesn't seem to be doing anything to relieve them or solve them for us. And like King Ahaz in Isaiah, we might look for help in the wrong places. But the thing is, that's all about our feelings. Our feeling that Jesus is not with us. And feelings, you know, God's given us emotions, so we are going to feel these things. But when we feel Jesus is absent, he's not with us, we need to turn to the truth. Because the truth is that Jesus says, I am with you always. At all times and on all occasions. At all times and on all occasions. Whether we want him to be there or not, whether we feel he's there or not, Jesus is with us always, at all times and on all occasions. And I say to you, don't listen to the whispers and the lies of the devil when you, yourself, or maybe other people suggest whether Jesus is present in your life because of something that's going on. Turn to the truth. Turn to the Bible. Turn to God's word and know the truth. Remind yourself of the truth. Get other trusted Christians to repeat the truth to you. Come to church and hear the truth again, that Jesus is with us always. If you look through the Bible, you will see that God's character is one of total faithfulness, always unchanging. And if we look at the way he keeps this particular promise to be with us, we see once again that he is the faithful and unchanging God. All through the Bible, we can see where he says to people, I will be with you. And all through the Bible, we see him demonstrate that he is with people. I've given you some verses on the bit of paper that you can take away and have a look at if you want to later. In a dream, God told Jacob, I will be with you, I will not leave you. As God commissioned Moses from the burning bush to lead the Israelites out of captivity, he said, I will be with you. When he commissions Joshua to take the people into the promised land, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God promised it to Gideon when he was going to fight the Midianites. He confirmed it with David, who wrote about it in the Psalms. God assured his people of it through Isaiah. He repeated it to Jeremiah. He promised it again through Zephaniah. The Lord your God is with you, mighty to save. And as we've heard, Jesus fulfilled it in his coming to earth, promised it again as he was about to leave, and then continues to be with us by his Holy Spirit. When Jesus says, I am with you always, regardless of what we feel, it is a truth. He is with us always. And surely, I am with you always. And then finally, to the very end of the age. Jesus gives us, just in case we're still in any doubt, Jesus gives us a sort of further assurance that always doesn't just mean in the past, like this stuff we've read in the Bible, or in the present, but he talks about the future as well. So as we leave here tonight and we go to work or school or into our leisure places or whatever we've got in the week ahead, whether we're looking forward to some events with excitement, whether we've got issues that we have concerns about as we go into tomorrow, if we've given our life to Jesus, we know that Jesus' promise of his presence with us, the guidance and the power of his Holy Spirit, is certain, he's with us. I guess our final question might be, well, what happens at the very end of the age? The end of the age when Jesus returns in judgment to end history as we know it, and fully establish the age to come, the new creation when there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more death. Well, if you don't know the answer, I guess you would probably guess it now because I've said it so many times in the last few minutes. Yes, God will be with us, but in a new and an amazing way. Let me read from the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 21. You want to follow it with me, it's on page 1249. Page 1249, chapter 21. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That's a promise for all of us, another promise that God will keep, that we will be with him forever, for eternity, in his presence. Samwise Gamgee is a great character, and he's fulfilled promise to stay with Frodo at the end of 12 hours of film. It's a great storyline, and it's fun to learn some of the dialogue. But Sam's not real. It's only a film. And learning the dialogue is not going to make any difference at all to my life. But Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, living within us by his Holy Spirit for those who trust him, that's the reality. There's no risk of Jesus falling in the water. There's no risk of Jesus not turning up. There's no risk that Jesus won't be there. He is our constant and he's our reliable. He's our all-knowing and all-powerful King and Saviour, our mighty God, who does what he says to be with us always. What will make a difference to our life is to learn that dialogue, to learn and know God's word, God's promise from Jesus' own mouth, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen.